Well, brothers and sisters, good morning.
Good morning.
It is a privilege to be able to be here with you. As Dr. O'Neill said, my name is Kyle Borg. I am the pastor of Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. We do get to boast and brag that that is Dr. O'Neill's hometown, and he may even still hold some records on the basketball court. It is always good to be able to be here. And as a moment of some shameless self-promotion, my heart as a pastor is toward small town and rural ministry. And Winchester this coming summer will be looking, if the Lord is willing and will provide, we are looking for an intern. And so if you are looking for internship hours and would like a very small community to serve in, Winchester is just a little over 500 people. Please come talk to me or email me or get in contact with me in some way. We would love to entertain that idea and to seek the Lord's will. Well, I'm going to ask that we turn together this morning to the book of Jonah. To the book of Jonah. For better or worse, I'm going to admit that I'm having this morning what I have sometimes called a preacher's predicament. A couple of weeks ago, when I was given the opportunity to be able to come and to minister to you, I did something that I rarely do, and that is work ahead. And I had found a text, and I had prepared a message, and I was feeling very good. And when I left Kansas yesterday, I made sure to bring my notes. And around midnight, as I pulled into my hotel just last night, I got a niggling feeling that we might be better served doing something other than what I had intentionally planned. And so I called my most faithful counselor, my wife, who was asleep, and she, through her sleepiness, said, yeah, just go with Jonah, that sounds good. So I called her this morning to reconfirm with her about that, if I should endeavor to do something that I had not originally planned on doing, and in a better mind, she said, I think you ought to go with that. It wasn't a mystical experience by any means, but there is a nagging, a burden on my heart this morning for the words of the prophet Jonah. And so I have some chicken scratch notes, and if the Lord is willing and the Spirit enables, I hope to bring an encouraging word to you. I'm going to begin reading in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, and I'm going to read through the third verse of chapter 3. So let us gather around the word and hear the reading of God's word. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will pay, salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me in another word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we sense acutely this morning that preaching is not Christ, that preaching is only a means that you have ordained to bring us more to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, O Spirit, we pray for your influence to move us beyond what mere words can do, to affect your word in our hearts, that we might again see the glory of Jesus Christ, even as it is revealed in these words, that we might see something of the glory of God as it shines so perfectly and fully in his face. Lord, put us on to Christ this morning in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to assume this morning that most of you here are likely familiar with that English Puritan, Richard Baxter. And if you know anything about Richard Baxter, you might be well acquainted with that quote that is often attributed to him. That Richard Baxter, when reflecting upon his ministry, his preaching ministry in particular, said that every time he got up to preach, he preached as though he was never to preach again, as a dying man to dying men. And I remember sitting in seminary, I've only been out for 4 years, having heard that often, having my professors reinforce that in everything we did, knowing that the pulpit is the very purpose of our seminary training, and that we too needed to have an urgency upon our hearts in the way we approach the pulpit, in proclaiming the excellencies and the glory of Christ, to preach as dying men to dying men and women. But I also remember in seminary often being confused, well, how does one actually prepare for that? How can one truly be prepared to take up the great and sacred calling of the ministry? You see, brothers, there are so many things that simply cannot be learned in a desk. There are many things that you need to learn in your preparation for the ministry that will never come from books. They will never come from the glorious models that church history gives us, whether you read the life of Charles Spurgeon or Robert Murray McShane or Jonathan Edwards or those men who were particularly blessed by the Holy Spirit. There are things that you cannot learn in those ways. But a great part of your preparation, the greatest part of your preparation, is going to come as you experientially come to know the things of God. As you experientially come to know not only here, but here. And textbooks don't do that. School desks don't do that. That is something that the Lord himself does. And I open in that way this morning because we have here in the book of Jonah a fascinating little account of one of my favorite preachers in all of church history. A man who the scriptures thankfully do not gloss over his imperfect character, his fear, his cowardice, his resentments. But we have here an incredible display of one who, by the marvelous providence of God, was prepared for ministry. And his preparation didn't come in a desk. His preparation didn't come from a textbook. His preparation came as he was experientially drawn into the truths of God and into the truth of who God was. I want you to note in chapter 3, as that chapter begins, we read, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying," and it's really quite marvelous. You're familiar, I hope, this morning with the story of Jonah. That in chapter 1, the word of the Lord comes to him, and God says to Jonah, "Go," and simply, Jonah says, "No, I'm not going to do it." And he begins to flee, and the Lord pursues him. And he begins to flee some more, and the Lord pursues him to the point of being swallowed by this great fish. And after his experience in the belly of the fish, he's vomited upon dry land, as we read, and God comes to him again and recommissions him. The commission doesn't change. The word of the Lord doesn't change. The message here in chapter 3 doesn't change from what we have in chapter 1. But brothers and sisters, what has changed is Jonah. Jonah has had a profound change worked in his life by the marvelous providence of God, and it is that that prepares him now to go into Nineveh and to powerfully preach the word of God. So powerfully that there is almost no other instance in Scripture that parallels the efficacy of Jonah's preaching. And this morning I want to look very briefly at the three things that helped prepare Jonah to be a preacher of righteousness. There are three things. And the first preparation for Jonah in this great task is that Jonah, very simply, was prepared by prayer. In verse 1 of chapter 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. I don't want this little detail to escape you. Earlier, as this narrative is unfolding, as the story of Jonah is unfolding, we find that Jonah tries to avoid the call of God in chapter 1, and he begins to flee, and he gets upon a ship. And if you remember the story, it's there in verse 4 of the first chapter that as Jonah flees the presence of the Lord, we read, "But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty storm that began to threaten to break up the ship." And the sailors of the ship, the mariners, how did they respond? In verse 5, we read, "Each cried out to his own God." They gave themselves, though it is false worship, to the prayers of their gods. And where is Jonah? Jonah's in the bottom of the ship, and he's sleeping. And the captain comes to him and he says, "Arise, O sleeper, arise. Will you not call out to your God? Do you see the other sailors? Do you see the other mariners?" In this tragic unfolding, what we really have there, the world is shaming Jonah. The world is doing what Jonah ought to have been doing, but rather than calling out to his God, Jonah is fast asleep. And the storm rages and it threatens to break up the ship. But then we have this phenomenal expression in this first verse. Then Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. Jonah was a man, we might say, who sensed no urgency of prayer until the moment came by God's providences where he sensed his acute need for prayer. And he prayed. And he prayed. And he prayed. And that's really the substance of this second chapter. This heartfelt, inward-born prayer of Jonah to his God. Brothers, prayer is what makes the ministry. You are going to have that drilled into your heads, and if the Lord is willing, your hearts, as you train here. You are going to be told your ministry depends on prayer. Don't ever let that truth become cold. Don't ever assume that truth. The best preparation for ministry is found on our knees. It is found in going to God in humble reliance upon Him and pouring our hearts out in all transparency and in all honesty. The best preparation, friends, for the ministry is prayer. And every pastor will tell you that. Every elder will tell you that. Every counselor that understands these things will tell you that. Not only at the beginning of your ministry, not only in the middle of your ministry, not only to the end of your ministry, but the whole of it, friends, depends upon prayer. Charles Spurgeon, my favorite non-biblical preacher would often be seen ascending his pulpit and his lips would be moving. And one day, somebody finally got the courage to ask him, and they said, "Well, Mr. Spurgeon, what are you saying every time you get up to your pulpit?" And he said, "I am praying that ancient creed. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost." And here, Jonah becomes a man of prayer, and he becomes a man whose prayers are answered. And in that, he becomes a fit vessel to now go to Nineveh with the word of the Lord and to preach repentance. What is the second preparation that we see here? Well, the second preparation that we see in Jonah as the Lord recommissions him to this ministry is that Jonah's not only prepared by prayer, he is also prepared by repentance. I hope it's obvious, even in just a simple reading of the text, that you can't deny the place of repentance in Jonah's life. Jonah is one, again, as God said, go, he said, no. He defied his maker. Worse than that, he defied his God, the God of Israel. He defied the God in whom he walked in covenant fellowship with. He denied the God of all grace and all mercy and looked in his face, and the horror of it has to strike us. He essentially spit in the face of God. God said, go, and Jonah said, no way. And it's a picture of the hardness of the heart. It is the picture of the hardness that can work even in the heart of God's people to spite God and to despite the clarity of his word. And Jonah becomes, doesn't he become so acutely aware of this? As he's sitting there languishing in the belly of the fish, as his prayers turn to God, in verse 4, "Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple." It's interesting that Jonah uses the language of the holy temple. Why? Well, what was the temple? The temple was the place where the ordinary means of grace were administered. The temple was the place where every square inch spoke of the pardon of God. The temple was the very place where the grace of God and the glory of his grace and the glory of the gospel was manifested. And Jonah is saying, I have been cast out. I have been cast out because I have turned from that. I have turned from your smiling face. I have turned from your grace. I have turned from your mercy. I am driven completely from your sight. But then, even with the expectation that we sang in the 42nd Psalm, yet he comes and he says, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. Here is a man who is driven from grace, but here is a man who knows that grace is available. Here is a man who is wrestling with the untold mercies of the Lord our God. And it's a profound thing. And in verse 7, we see this shift as Jonah turns, you might say, from being driven away from God's sight back into it. In verse 7, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Into your holy temple. This, friends, is the language of repentance. And Jonah begins to grasp that. What an acute understanding he has of repentance. My prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. And Jonah is saying, I was clinging to my vain idols. And now I turn to that holy temple, to that place of grace and mercy, and I forsake my idols for the sake of the steadfast love of God. That's what repentance is. Turning from sin and turning to the fatherly grace of God in Jesus Christ. And this becomes a great source of preparation for Jonah. And I want to tell you this morning, friends, it is a great preparation for the ministry. How will you preach repentance without having repented? How will you call upon men and women and children to forsake their idols and to forsake sin if you yourself are clinging to them? Friends, the preparation for the ministry is not to be a man who is perfect, but to be a man who is repentant. To be one who walks in that, not feigning a posture of perfection, but a posture of humility and a posture of turning to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Robert Murray McShane, in his very young years in his ministry, wrote in his journals that as he became more acquainted with his own heart, he realized there was not a sin in the encyclopedia of sin that did not dwell in his heart. But thank Jesus for grace. Repentance is preparation for the ministry. Brothers, you need to be repentant. And finally, very briefly, because we're running out of time here, the third preparation that we see of Jonah for the ministry, he's prepared by prayer, he's prepared by repentance, but he is also prepared by suffering, isn't he? The very expressions that Jonah gives here, the very pouring out of his heart to Jehovah, He puts his sufferings in terms of a metaphorical death. That he has gone down into the pit, that he has gone to the grave, that he is in the belly of Sheol. And he senses that so acutely. It is a metaphorical death. But I want you to see for a moment just beyond that. Because what is it really? It's actually identification with Jesus. Jesus himself tells us how we're to understand this in Matthew chapter 12. They demand a sign, and the sign that they will have, he says, is the sign of Jonah. For 3 days this body will lay in the ground, but it will come forth. And Jonah's experience is just that. Here is one who goes down into the grave, who is buried, and yet participates in something very like something that we can call resurrection life. What is going on here in all of his suffering and in all of his affliction, he is being identified with a suffering Savior. He is being identified with Jesus in his death and in his burial and in his resurrection. And the Apostle Paul tells us that's the experience of every Christian. Every single one of us must be identified with Jesus in his death and in his burial and in his resurrection. And it's those afflictions and it's those sufferings and it's those troubles, brothers, that prepare us for the ministry. Mary Winslow, writing to her son Octavius Winslow, a famous Presbyterian preacher. He was languishing and having a very difficult season of life, and she wrote to her son. And she said, "Son, when you commenced the office of the ministry, you commenced a life of trial from saint and sinner alike. Take your burden to Jesus. It belongs to him." And we see Jonah being identified in his afflictions and in his sufferings with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, the point of all of this is what equips him to be a preacher. This is what prepares him for this great ministry that he has set before him by the call of God. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. P.T. Forsyth said that Christianity stands or falls with preaching. Might be an overbold statement, but I think it's a right statement. Brothers, in your years here in seminary, prepare yourselves for this great ministry. Prepare for it through prayer. Prepare for it through repentance. And may every sorrow and every affliction be sanctified to you to make you people, men, who will stand and boldly proclaim the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it trains us and equips us in every way. May Jesus Christ be praised. In his name we pray. Amen. Do we have time for a closing psalm? Let's stand and sing together Psalm 16D. Psalm 16D.